Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are here on our first case, 10-1826, Paul Jones et al. Versus Centax Homes. For the appellants, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. If it pleases the court and counsel, we're here to decide issues that are going to impact every buyer of a new home in Ohio. There seems to be some confusion in the Court of Appeals below and in the briefs of Appellee and Amicus as to warranty versus duty. This court back in 1966 in Mitcham indicated that a builder of a new home had a duty of ordinary care like every other citizen of the state of Ohio. In Vallada in 1982, this court affirmed that duty, that the builder owed the buyer of a new home a duty of reasonable care to construct the home in a workmanlike manner. This court said that that was a tort duty, although it arose from or out of a contract, it was a tort duty. Now, can this duty be waived? The Court of Appeals found that it could. The Court of Appeals, I believe, was mistaken because the Court of Appeals didn't cite one case that a court had held that the duty to construct in a workmanlike manner could be waived. The court cited cases where the implied warranties from other states could be waived. But in those cases, one that comes to mind is the Supreme Court case out of Alabama, Turner. The court said, yes, you can waive your implied warranties, but you could still sue in negligence. The duty, the underlying duty, was never waived. And not one case that has ever been cited stands for the proposition that you can waive the duty to construct in an ordinary manner.
How far does the duty to construct in a workmanlike manner extend? Is it every single thing that might go wrong with the house? If you have a door jamb that doesn't fit, if you have nail pops, all the things that you generally think of as covered by your contract, are those also, in your opinion, covered by a duty?
No.
What's the parameters of that duty?
The parameters of the duty would be whatever an expert said was below a reasonable care of a new home builder in that particular instance. If there were four nails out of place, no, I don't think an expert is going to say that. I think you're going to, like in any other negligence case, in a lot of negligence cases, you're going to need an expert who will testify as to the extent of the duty of care. If the floor slopes a 16th of an inch over 32 feet, maybe that's in the duty of care, maybe it's outside the duty of care. I don't know. So I think you're going to need an expert witness, Your Honor, in order to determine the extent of the duty.
Is it matter that they have given them some warranties that are longer and more protective than the implied warranties would cover? Or the express warranties would cover?
Well, it's something they can do. I don't think that has any bearing, though, on whether you can waive the underlying duty. I see the underlying duty in this case, the duty to act in a reasonable manner, as the basement or the baseline. You can't go below that. If you want to add things on top of that because you make a better product, because you want to win more customers, that's fine. But I don't think you can drop below the baseline duty of reasonable care.
Is this a duty unique to home building, or does this duty apply to any contract where you sell a product?
I think this court indicated in Mitcham versus Johnson that the duty to construct in a workmanlike manner was imposed upon all citizens in all areas or aspects of their lives, that we all have a duty of acting in reasonable care, I believe was the exact language used in Mitcham versus Johnson. So I believe, to answer your question directly, that it would extend to contractors and subcontractors. All of them have a duty to act with reasonable care.
Mr. Edwards, yes. You're talking about the allegations here are that the steel joists became magnetized and caused some problems with the electronics in the home. Is that correct?
Yes, generally speaking, yes.
Did you sue the manufacturer of the joists?
No, we did not.
All right, so you're saying it's the general contractor that should be responsible for this? Is that what you're saying?
It's the builder of the home. I mean, Centex built the home. Whether they subbed it out or anything like that, they haven't interposed a subcontractor or an independent contractor defense. Centex
saying that the general contractor should have a duty to ensure the components that go into a home.
No, you use that's a key word, ensure. Absolutely not. We don't believe they have a duty to ensure. They have a duty to act in a reasonable manner. All we are asking for is an opportunity to prove to a jury that they violated the duty that this court set out in Mitchum versus Johnson. We are not asking that they be held as an insurer. We are asking the opportunity to prove that they violated their duty of reasonable care.
What was the duty of reasonable care that was breached in your view?
In my view, I believe our experts would testify that a builder of a new home who acted with reasonable care would not put a home on the market that had a magnetic field in it that would interrupt the use of cordless phones, that would prevent the use of computers, that would...
Counsel, is that magneticism inherent to using metal or steel joists?
I don't know. That's not in the record one way or the other. But
you're saying that the failure to construct in a reasonable workmanlike manner was the use of this building component, these steel joists?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I don't know whether it is or not. All I'm saying is most consumers in this state would expect when they buy a new home to be able to use cordless phones in it, would be able to use...
The allegation that the steel construction caused a magnetic field.
Yes.
Okay, so you'd have to be alleging that using this building material was the breach for the workmanlike manner?
Well, no, the production of the house itself in this form with a magnetic field that interrupts
the... How was the magnetic field created?
I don't know. I don't know. There is a magnetic field there. There was an investigation done to determine how the joists were magnetized. There was no results ever determined how the joists got magnetized.
But the creation of that magnetic field is what you want to hold the builder responsible for.
Yes, producing it in a producing a home.
You know that they actually produced it, that it was a consequence of what the builder did?
That's what there's no evidence in the record. Yes, that's what our testimony is going to be, that the home was, as a result of the builder building the home in whatever manner they did, caused this magnetic
something
field.
Something the builder did, you're going to allege that there's something the builder did that caused a magnetic field.
Well, did they put the house together? They constructed the house. Whether they did something or a component was already magnetized when it got there, it's impossible to tell. Our position is that it violates their duty of care to have sold my clients a house with a magnetic field in it that interrupts the use of these televisions and cordless phones and computers.
Counsel, what remedy are you seeking if you were to be able to prove your case?
Well, if we were able to go to trial, we would seek damages for their out-of-pocket expenses in replacing televisions and cordless phones and computers. We would seek damages to repair the magnetic field and damages for the loss of use of their home for that time period.
So you're seeking monetary damages as opposed to actual remedying the problem in the home? Or purchasing new computers, are there ones that are not sensitive to the magnetic field? We're not at that point.
I don't know.
Let me bring you to a point that is involved, and that is the ability to waive the warranty that you're alleging in this case. Is there any authority that you have that says the duty cannot be waived?
Well, if you look at the
case... In this case, I guess it's substituted. It's one warranty substituted for another.
No. It's a warranty substituted for a duty. There is no warranty in the state of Ohio. It's a duty to act as reasonable care.
But the contracts that your client signed says that they waived all express or implied warranties and all other claims except for those specifically set forth in a separate limited warranty. Your client signed that, right?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't, that means exactly what it says it means. In paragraph-
Syntex would argue that you have then waived any express warranty or any implied warranty or any other claim other than what's in the document
that's right.
A limited warranty. And so you look through the limited warranty, that's what you got, and you didn't get anything else because you've given up all those claims.
That is what Syntex is arguing, yes, Your Honor.
Well, isn't that right?
I don't believe so, no, for two reasons. One, I don't believe you can waive the duty, but let's set that aside for
a
second.
What duty are you talking about?
The duty of Syntex, of any new home builder in the state of Ohio, to construct the home in a workmanlike manner, as indicated by this court in Mitchum.
So the implied warranty to construct in a workmanlike manner.
No, Your Honor, it's no warranty. It's a duty. It's not a warranty. This court made that absolutely clear in 3.5 pages in Vallada, that the difference between warranty and duty. Duty, we have to prove a standard of care and a violation of the standard of care, as well as proximate causation and damages. Under warranty, all we have to prove is defect, causation, and damages. So there could be a problem.
You claim that there's an implied duty to construct a home in a workmanlike manner.
Yes.
Cannot be waived in Ohio.
That is our position, yes. And as getting back to that question, in Vallada, the language in Vallada was, in the written contract, the home is sold as is, no outside conditions, warranties, or agreements. And even with that language in the Vallada case, the court discussed and held that the duty to build a home in a workmanlike manner still survived with that language. Now, I would acknowledge that that was not a main point in Vallada.
The waiver that your client signed gave up all other claims except for any claim listed in a limited warranty.
That's correct.
Would this duty be one of the other claims?
Well, that's what we're here to decide. I would suggest that it does not, and for a whole separate set of reasons, whether it can be waived or not. In Ohio, waiver is defined as the voluntary relinquishment of a known right. That's right out of the White versus Canton transportation case. That's Ohio jury instructions law. Voluntary relinquishment of a known right. There is nothing in the record that establishes that my client knew they had this right. There is nothing there. Nothing in the sales agreement discusses the right, nothing. I believe there is nothing in the record to show it was a known right.
Mr. Edwards, I want to get to a definition or your definition of what it means to construct in a workmanlike manner. It sounds to me like you're saying that unless the home has no problems whatsoever, it would not be constructed in a workmanlike manner.
No, that's not. If I'm saying that, I apologize. Well, it would depend on whatever our expert witness said. I mean, if one floor fell a half an inch over 10 feet, that may or may not be in a workmanlike manner. If there was cracks in the basement that were, some were a 16th of an inch and some were a half an inch, that may or may not be in a workmanlike manner. I think you have to take the whole set of facts that you're faced with in this case, in any case, to determine and give to an expert and say, Mr. Expert, is this constructed in a workmanlike manner?
So are you saying that if a home has problems, the buyer should be able to go to court and go to a jury to determine whether their problem falls within this category of being not in a workmanlike manner? Is that what you're arguing?
Well, yes, within the confines of the civil rules, obviously, if they're going to court with complaints about nail holes being popped or or a window not closing. I don't think you're going to get an expert to say that that's not constructed in a workmanlike manner, so you're going to be out of court in summary judgment. But do they have the opportunity? Certainly. I don't think that new home buyers shouldn't be treated differently than any other citizens.
Even though they signed a contract, as Justice O'Donnell was talking about all other claims.
Well, I'm going to get back to that. I don't believe that waiver is sufficient under existing Ohio law. It was not a voluntary relinquishment of a known right. So I don't believe you can use that waiver to exclude this right. And it wasn't known because it doesn't mention the right. There is not one word in this sales contract that about the builder having a right or having a duty to build the house in a workmanlike manner. It's silent on that.
You would agree that if that language was in the contract, it would be controlling.
That would be part of it. Yes, that would get you part of the way there. The rest of it is the language has to be, in my opinion, clear and conspicuous. They can't put it in small writing somewhere in the sales contract. And the Court of Appeals found the sales contract, that language, that waiver, was not clear and conspicuous. The only way the Court of Appeals got there was to bring in a separate document, the limited warranty, that had the language in it as well. And I believe that was error to consider the limited warranty. The limited warranty was never given to my clients until sometime after they signed the sales contract.
Counsel, you used your time.
Okay, I'll save the rest for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Long.
Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Mike Long, and I am here on behalf of Syntex Homes. I want to address the threshold issue in this case first, which was raised by the questions of Justice Cupp and Justice O'Donnell, and then I want to go back to some of the questions that were asked by members of this court. The threshold issue in this case on appeal is whether or not you can, in the state of Ohio, waive this implied warranty of good workmanship. It's a case of first impression. No Ohio court has decided that.
Do you think that there is a distinction between an implied warranty and a duty to construct?
No, I don't. all of these cases and all of the other jurisdictions that have said, yes, you can disclaim the implied warranty of good workmanship, talk about that implied warranty in terms of a tort claim. And your question went to what is the duty. It's a duty to use reasonable care based upon whatever the standards of the home building industry is. Whatever reasonable care is in the home building industry, that's the standard of reasonable care. And all of these cases from every jurisdiction that has addressed this question talk about this being a negligence standard, a tort standard. So it doesn't make any difference, Your Honor, whether you call it a duty or a warranty. There is no distinction. What we're talking about here is this court has created in 1966 an implied duty of good workmanship. The question, and that's a negligence standard, it's a reasonable care standard. The question is, can you disclaim that?
Is there any question that this house became magnetized? Is that in dispute?
There is slight magnetization in this house, but the facts are that in every building in which you use steel framing, there is some magnetization.
But if
that is inherent in steel framing.
If the magnetization is sufficient to interfere with the use of electronics, is that common?
That will be a question at trial, but our evidence shows that this is mild magnetization. It doesn't interfere with it could interfere with a cathode ray television, which there aren't any of those anymore, but if you set that right against the steel beam, you could theoretically get some interference. There is nothing else about the level of magnetism in this house that would interfere with anything.
You're not advocating that you get to trial on this issue.
No, I'm not. I'm advocating.
You say that that's to be determined by a finder of fact. You're saying that the waivers that were the contract itself plus the contract that's referenced negates the ability for the appellant to bring this case to trial.
That's right. The issue before this court on this appeal is whether or not they can proceed on the implied warranty of good workmanship.
Counsel, go ahead.
Are you saying that these people actually signed documents that said, we're not expecting good workmanship on this home.
No, what they signed were documents that limited their claims, their warranty claims, to a 21-page booklet that described what the warranties were. There were 116 defects or possible defects that were warranted on this house. There's 21 pages of description. This is what they got. These are the remedies they got in the warranty booklet.
Now, is that superior to an implied warranty, this duty, workmanlike manner? That document
that turns,
substitutes that
turns
for that.
That turns on the question before this court. Is this court going to permit in Ohio the disclaimer of the implied warranty of good workmanship? And if the answer to that is yes, and if you follow every other jurisdiction who has considered that question, then the answer to your question is yes, their remedies are limited to the specific warranties.
But my question was, is that is a limiting document.
Correct.
It is not as
Correct.
Universal or as comprehensive as the implied warranty theory under which you acknowledge, and he calls it a duty, and he's making a fine distinction between that universal duty and an implied warranty, but
That's
for
correct.
All intents and purposes, you're talking about the same thing with a different label.
That's correct.
And you admit that you're very much limiting your client's exposure to the quality, complaints against the quality of their product.
You said very much limiting. It is limiting. It is limiting their remedies to whatever the specific warranties are in this 21-page document, and those are extensive. So do they have remedies?
Limitations
yes, they
are
do.
Extensive or they're
extensive.
The limitations are extensive.
Yes. There are warranties that cover 92 different components for 1 year, five different systems components for 2 years, and 16 different structural components for 10 years. So
are
that's
we talking about limiting a negligence in the performance or construction? And I'm wondering if we do that in other fields. In the medical field, for example, you can't have a contract to limit medical negligence. Wonder how we get it in a home construction contract.
Well, the difference is that in the implied warranty of good workmanship, every court that has considered this and 10 other jurisdictions has said, yes, that's a waivable. That is a waivable issue.
Is that a policy consideration for the General Assembly, or is it a matter of judicial interpretation?
The court created this duty of implied workmanship, and the question now before the court is, can a party disclaim that?
Counsel, so that we're clear on this, in looking at the trial court's opinion and also the Court of Appeals, there does not appear to be a dispute that they actually pled a tort claim.
That's correct.
That the failure to perform in a workmanlike manner.
That's correct.
And what we're talking about here is what we would call a contractual document that they signed.
Yes.
That takes away all potential tort claims.
Yes.
And you indicate that's a case of first impression in Ohio.
On this particular implied duty, there are other implied warranties that have been recognized that can be disclaimed, and I'll get to that in a moment.
Okay. Now, I want to transition over to every other home sale that's not a new home until the General Assembly, at the urging of the realtors, got involved in this. You sold homes and real estate. Buyer beware. Inspect it. What you see is what you get. Then the legislature changed that and forces the seller to make certain representations. Call them warranties. I don't know whether the violations of those are sound in tort or whether they sound in contract, but the seller is required to make a variety of representations as to the condition of that home. Does your contract, your client's contract, conform to those, or would it narrow the statutory obligations that every other seller has of a home that's not new? In other words, can the builder of a new home get away with something? And maybe that's a poor choice of words, but can they sell a home to a buyer and by contract limit their exposure to things that everyone selling an existing home could not limit their exposure?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to your question because I don't know requirements the legislature has placed on.
If we give a green light to what you're asking us to say, and that is contractually you can take away all of the known existing tort exposure of a builder of a new home, that would imply that you could limit this in any fashion that the builder chose to limit it, saying you're signing this agreement, here's what we promise, and we promise no more than this. And then theoretically you could narrow the range of exposure below the level that every other seller of a home is required to handle.
Well, there are two answers to your question. This freedom of contract that was signed here and the warranties that were given are the remedies that were given to this buyer in contract.
Right.
That's his contract remedies. They've got 116 potential defects for which they have an express warranty.
And the contract.
The buyers also have a negligence claim. They asserted a negligence claim in this case, a general negligence claim. That was, of course, dismissed when the case was dismissed at the trial court on summary judgment. They did not appeal the general negligence claims. So those are out of the case. The only issue remaining in the case is can they proceed on the implied warranty of good workmanship created by this court several years ago? Can they do that, or can the seller effectively disclaim that in the state of Ohio? That's the issue here.
Mr. Long, when the homeowner purchasers signed that contract, did they receive that 21-page document, or was that the document that was available upon request to them?
The latter.
When they signed it, because I'm thinking as I read your brief, when I built my home, it would never have occurred to me to say, to look at the contract and say that, yes, I'll be able to use cell phones and televisions in my home, because you assume if you build a home that you're going to be able to do certain basic things in it, just like when you buy a car, that it will drive as designed.
Of course.
So these purchasers signed a document, and then they had to request to see the 21 pages, 116 items they were waiving.
True, but let me add one thing to your question in your statement. In the contract they sign, in all caps, a paragraph says limited home warranty. And then it goes on to describe, seller shall provide the standard limited home warranty covering defects in materials and workmanship as described in the limited home warranty document. Copies of this booklet are available for your review. So my response to you is that when you sign a contract in which, in all caps, it says limited home warranty, that's reasonable notice to a reasonable buyer that he's getting something limited, that he's getting a warranty that is limited. And he ought to read this paragraph, and he ought to read what he is getting if he wants to know what warranties he's getting and what he isn't.
Counsel, that's an interesting sentence. Could you read it again?
Sure. It starts out in all caps, limited home warranty.
Right.
And then it says, "Shaller shall provide its standard limited home warranty covering defects in materials and workmanship."
The standard limited home warranty is what's troubling to me. That implies that there is such a thing, that there is a standard limited home warranty.
It says it's standard.
So you have to catch the it's.
What I'm saying to the court, Your Honor, is that when you have a contract and it says limited home warranty, and it says that limited home warranty is set forth in a booklet, It seems to me that that gives notice to the buyer that that's what they ought to read.
Assuming
that's standard principle of principles of freedom of contract in this state.
Okay, so let's take that one step further. If its standard limited home warranty said, we promise that if the big bad wolf comes along and huffs and puffs and blows on a 40-mile-an-hour wind, your house won't fall down, that's it. And in return for that promise, all of your other remedies are gone. Would the black letter law that you're writing us to, you're asking us to write, would that still obtain, or then are we into it's unconscionable? I mean, are we closing one door and opening another door of litigation, and that is the unconscionability of the limited warranty?
The only black letter law I am asking this court to write is to allow the disclaimer of the implied warranty of good workmanship. That's the only issue that we are before this court on. And the question is this court going to do that, as has every other jurisdiction which has considered the issue, or is Ohio going to be the lone state in the union to hold that no, that disclaimer of implied warranty of good workmanship cannot be waived? That's the issue before the court. We're not taking away the plaintiff's negligence claims. As I said a moment ago, they had negligence claims, which are now no longer in the case, but they could pursue negligence claims and did pursue negligence claims until the point of the appeal. So, and your question really goes, what about the situation where the builder gives no warranty? And my answer to that, Your Honor, is that you've got to give some trust to the free market system here. When people buy homes, new homes from builders, and they are told what you are getting are express warranties and you should read them, they can go read those warranties. They can decide whether that's reasonable, something that they can live with. They can walk away from the deal.
Counsel, in your view, was there any consideration for the waiver of the implied warranties?
Well, the disclaimer says that the seller is relying on the limited warranties, and the disclaimer of the implied warranty of good workmanship, and would not sell the house to them if the buyers did not agree to that.
Is there anything in the limited express warranties that would not be available under an implied warranty?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. All I can tell you is that they got extensive express warranties, and even as described in a 21-page booklet that goes over 116 different items. That's all I can say to you, Your Honor.
Even if they'd gotten the booklet, read the booklet thoroughly, would an average person have any understanding that their home might be magnetized and they're waiving that because it's not one of the 126? Or does that not even matter to our discussion?
Well, if you read it, you see that the joists, the steel joists in the home, have no warranty at all. There is no warranty that applies. They are specifically excluded.
But you would think of that as something structural that they may buckle, or that I would
of
never.
Well, nobody would. None of us have seen a case where there is a claim of magnetism in a home. And that's what's so strange about this case. And the facts aren't before you because this came up on summary judgment. But the fact is, this home had the same levels of magnetism as this building has. And what I mean by that is that any building with steel joists in them have some magnetism. You walk outside and there's 500, they measure it in something called milligauss. That's how you measure magnetism. And you can walk outside here in Columbus, Ohio, we have 500 milligauss outside, and these homes had about 500 or 600 milligauss in them. It's an unusual case in that respect. So all I can tell you is that there is no warranty that covers the steel joists. And if we were trying this case on a negligence standard, the question that, and you raised this question, what's the duty? Well, what is wrong with a builder using steel framing in a building? It's used in every building, in every commercial building in Ohio uses steel framing. And this steel framing is no different than any other steel framing.
So if, Mr. Long, if you were proceeding on a negligence theory, which is totally separate from what we're talking about, the plaintiff would have had to show that there was defective workmanship in the placement of the steel joists or something that actually proximately caused the problem here.
The plaintiff would have to show, if we were trying this case on a negligence theory, the plaintiff would have to show that the builder using steel joists in this home somehow falls below the standard of reasonable care, and I don't know how they could possibly show that. As I say, every building in Central Ohio, not every home, but certainly every commercial building, every hospital, every building has steel joists in it, and this is no different in terms of the level of magnetizations than is common in any building with steel framing.
And we could look at the warranty idea as being almost a super promise from one side to the other, as opposed to just the duty that comes in the negligence
It gives them additional protection on 116 different items where they don't have to show negligence. They don't have to show anything except that there is a defect in one of the warranted items. That's to the benefit.
Not all steel joists become magnetized, so isn't that a standard of care that...
No. All steel joists have magnetization in them, and it runs... the common range is from 100 milligauss to 2,000 milligauss.
But not every house that uses steel joists becomes magnetized. So that's when you get into the...
Every house that has steel joists would have some level of magnetism between 100 milligauss and 2,000 milligauss. That's inherent in steel beams.
And at the point that it begins to interfere with the daily use of the house becomes the standard of care.
That would be an issue for the trier of fact, because there has been no case that we could find in the history of jurisprudence where levels of magnetism of this minuscule level interferes with anything. This is a unique case in terms of those claims. There's nothing like that in litigation.
Counsel, is the warranty, the 21-page warranty, is that standard in the industry?
Yes.
What your product, even
yes.
though you say
yes.
it's...
Yes, this is a nationwide... Syntex is a nationwide builder of homes. This is the warranty they give nationwide. And they're in line with other builders, they can't be giving significantly less, Justice Pfeiffer, or they wouldn't be competitive in the home building industry. They're giving something very similar to what new home builders across the country provide.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Edwards, you've used your time, but I'll give you 3 minutes.
Counsel, before you get started, what else did you plead that you didn't appeal on? It looked to me like the trial judge knocked you out on everything.
Yes, they did.
And you appealed all of that.
Yes, we appealed all of that. I've got to make a point here. I think we're going down the wrong road. This court.
We pled negligence.
We pled breach of express warranty, breach of implied duty, breach of implied warranty. I had like six claims in my supplement. It has the contract. I have breach of implied warranty, negligence, failure to perform in a workmanlike manner, breach of express warranty, breach of contract.
All right.
Now, what we are talking about, the implied duty, is a negligence standard. There is no distinction. The questions that have been asked and the answers given, like, well, if he had pled negligence, I did plead negligence. The implied duty to construct in a workmanlike manner is a negligence claim. That's what this court said in Velada. It said the builder's negligence proximately caused the Vendee's damage. There is no distinction.
I understood Mr. Long. He suggested that you didn't appeal on the negligence claim. You appealed on the contractual claim. Is it?
No, I appealed everything. I mean, if you lose on summary judgment, you don't say, well, I appeal the first claim that was dismissed and the second claim. You appeal the judgment. I did. But failure to perform in a workmanlike manner is negligence. That's what this court in Velada took 2 pages to explain. It is negligence. It's failure to use ordinary care. There is no distinguishment between negligence and duty to build in a workmanlike manner. They're the same standard. It's the very same thing. And that leads to another misconception that's going on. Mr. long indicated that this court is going to be the only court in the United States that doesn't allow this. That's wrong. The other courts allow the disclaimer of implied warranties.
Counsel, your propositions to this court all involve the ability to waive this.
Yes.
The implied duty, as you term it, and obviously opposing counsel calls that the implied warranty and sees little distinction in the semantics here. But the gist of what we've accepted here all involves the ability of your client to waive.
That's right. Yes.
This negligence.
Yes.
That you're saying.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And if this court allows this waiver, this is the only state in the United States where the builder will be free from its own negligence. There is no other state in this country that will allow that. All the other jurisdictions that talk about waive the implied warranty, that's what they're doing. They're allowing them to waive the warranty, but the negligence claim is still there.
Counsel, and by that you're saying that these contracts typically, what is allowed, is to substitute for a host of implied warranties a list of specific warranties
that are
offered.
That's correct. And in all these cases that were cited to you, there are implied warranties implied by state law, implied habitability, implied suitability of purpose. Those can be disclaimed and something can be substituted. But there is nothing that says, in addition to that, you can disclaim the underlying duty of ordinary care. There is nothing. Not one case in the United States says that. The one case that was cited to you by in both briefs, Turner, the Supreme Court of Alabama said, yes, you can disclaim these, but you can still bring the negligence claim. And that's exactly what we're doing here. Our negligence claim is being brought, and it can't, if you disclaim this, if you allow this to be disclaimed, what does a new home buyer have? They have nothing, nothing, no protection whatsoever. If their defect isn't covered by that limited warranty, they're out of luck. And I submit to you that not one citizen in the state of Ohio believes that when they go in and sign a contract and a builder better be standing behind that house, and if they sign this, they have nothing. That is, in my opinion, against the public policy of the state of Ohio. Finally, all this depends on the limited warranty. Let's say that limited warranty says, you know what, we're going to repair all the cracks that are greater than a half an inch. You go, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. Of course, you come to find out that 99% of the cracks are less than a half an inch. So we're now to the point where the value of all this depends on an engineer and a builder going through the limited warranty with a fine-tooth comb to see how many defects this is really going to cover. And that's just not feasible for a new home buyer to go through there and say, well, this says that a crack in the wall that is greater than 2/3 of an inch will be covered. Well, that sounds pretty good. Of course, 99% of the cracks are less than 2/3 of an inch, so nothing is covered. So if you take this step down this road, then how are you going to evaluate the value of a limited warranty? I mean, is that going to be the court's job to sit through there and go through there? Well, geez, it covers these defects 20% of the time, covers these defects 40% of the time. Is this limited warranty really worth it?
So then, counsel, using your example, you would, in your scenario, be able to assert negligence for all cracks under 2/3 of an inch. Is that what you're saying?
Whatever your expert witness would say would violate the duty of reasonable care. Yes, if your expert witness says, look, if you get a crack that's 1/4 of an inch, that's standard in the industry. That's just your tough luck. That's the way, you know, concrete expands or contracts. And you go, okay, well then, client, you got to live with that. If you got a crack that's 1/2 inch, and he goes, wait a minute, 1/2 inch is way too big, that violates the duty of reasonable care, then there is a claim. It's just like any other type of tort claim that's brought. Whatever the expert says, you know, if you have proof, you win. If you don't have proof, you lose.
Okay.
But
thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you, gentlemen.